Words from our first lesson. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that ye may obtain. Run. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. The essential difference between walking and running, about which I have no real expertise, is that in running, both feet, by extension our entire bodies, leave the ground. We are lifted and we thud. We lift and we thud. We lift and we thud. However, for the Christian, thudding around in Oxford, 2,021 years after the birth of Christ, I think danger lies in thinking about growth in the spirit as if it were like going for a run. In the first century, St. Paul the Apostle would have been aware of the work of the athlete, for example, at Corinth, where the Isthmian Games, second only to the Olympic Games, were held. The image of the athlete occurs repeatedly in Paul's writings. And here, in this first epistle of the Corinthians, he uses it to encourage us to adopt a rigorous training regime, like the athlete, to facilitate our spiritual growth. Like the athlete, Paul says, we must be temperate in all things. We must bring our bodies into subjection, and we must run if we truly want to obtain the prize. Today, the world tells us, run. Run away from all life's problems. Run faster, faster, never stop. The world tells us, run, run. Strive for mastery over all things. Run, or else you yourself will be enslaved. The world tells us, run. Run because only one receives the prize. Run because you can be that one, fulfilled and happy in the future. You should run and run and run. Of course, this is not what St. Paul wants us to do. Do not simply run uncertainly, he says, or fight beating the air. Do not simply race walk, in which the feet never leave the ground. This sport only entered the Olympic Games in 1904. To enter a rigorous training regime helps us only, insofar as we know the prize we seek is not of this world. Insofar as we know that it is by God's grace alone that the whole self is lifted up and saved. The worldly man or woman wants to obtain a corruptible crown and rarely, if ever, achieves that. They are always on the run. No matter how far the intended course, no matter how fit we are, no matter how fast we can get from A to B, there is always something lacking if we have never left the arena, if we simply thud. We must strive for an incorruptible crown in which nothing is lacking because the divine, our master, places it upon our heads. Our thudding will not stop. Nevertheless, God sets us free from the demands of the world to run. No one can really know what running means, I suggest, except through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom our thudding, our whole selves, will undergo a radical transfiguration when he lifts us up into his embrace. In our gospel passage, our Lord makes this clear enough. All are called into the householder's vineyard on the hill, and the reward of each is not dependent on how hard they work in the arena or how high they climb up life's ladder. Think of the game Snakes and Ladders, in which, just when we think we are approaching the prize, we fall back and are called upon to start again. This is what the pursuit of a corruptible crown in the end entails. It is a just punishment for our offences. However, some will be chosen to understand this essential truth. God meets us wherever we are at, and his grace is freely given. It simply does not matter how far we run. Those chosen will not simply be working on the hill with their feet upon the ground. They will be truly lifted up into the cloud. Their reward will be in heaven. It might help to think in terms of running on the spot, which I shan't demonstrate to you, but you can imagine. You have been given your patch and access to the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ, so work at it. The trick is to shut out the world's distorted demand on us to run away from God in competition one with another. The trick is to ask that we would be lifted up and do it again and again, that we would be lifted up just for a moment. If we do, the quality of our work, and more importantly, our presence in God's vineyard, will be transformed. Never forget that to truly run, we need to be lifted up before we thud. Our Lord said, "The last shall be first, and the first will be last." Rather than trying to get the head around this paradox, we should ask that he would crown the head with that which cannot be corrupted. May the love which he has for each one of us infiltrate the very fiber of our being. We pick up our feet, but it is he who grabs us by the hair on our head. It is by his grace that we are lifted up. St. Paul knew this. Moreover, when he compared growth in the Spirit to the work of the athlete, he was evangelizing in a world in which there were no track or Olympic records. Those who participated in the arena at Corinth simply did not believe that they could achieve mastery over the world around them. As such, all they did was show up and try their best, in full knowledge that they were finite human beings and limited. They and we were not, are not, God. The prize, the laurel wreath upon those athletes' heads, would corrupt year on year, and was only ever a short-term objective. Our world is different to theirs. We are now tempted by the world's demands on us to always run, to compete with one another, in the hope that one day, in the future, we will be able to rest on our laurels, happy and content. Happily, we know that to be a noble lie. Only one person ever truly received the prize. He is now seated at the right hand of the Father. Now he will hear our prayers and deliver us mercifully by his goodness. Through Christ our Lord, we lift before we thud. We will soon come to that point in the Mass when we are called upon to do just that. Lift up your hearts. Train your bodies like the athlete, insofar as it enables you to orientate your hearts in the right direction. Not across the track, but up. Lift them up unto the Lord, and the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Lord, will lift us up. And we shall truly know what it means to run and run and run. Amen.